chock full of commands that challenge us to a holier kind of living. Things like, love one another as I have loved you, and forgive one another not 7 times, but 70 times 7. However difficult it must be to put those commands into practice, I doubt if any of us would deny that this is precisely how Jesus wants us to live. Therefore, we embrace these commands as ideals to shoot for. This morning's gospel, on the other hand, seems not so much difficult as absurd. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. That just seems wrong-headed. I think those other demands seem more reasonable because they are concerned with people like us. Jesus knows that within any family or community, tensions are bound to surface. Frictions will rub us the wrong way. And so he says, learn to forgive one another. Strive to live in peace with one another. But this command to love our enemies focuses on an entirely different kind of person. People who don't share our values. People who don't see things the way we do. People who hate us. Have you ever experienced vicious, bloodthirsty hatred? Have you ever seen a face contorted with hatred? It's terrifying. For several years, I lived in Chile. At a time, that country was ruled by a brutal military dictatorship. I remember one afternoon in particular. I left my parish on the outer edge of the city and headed downtown for a meeting at the Jesuit headquarters. As I got off the bus, 2 short blocks from the office, I was suddenly engulfed by a mob of frantic people rushing toward me. Immediately behind them, I could see armored trucks of soldiers bearing down on us, and I panicked. I bolted up a side street, but halfway up that block, I froze in my tracks. I saw a young woman on the ground, curled up in a ball, arms cradling her head, trying to protect herself as a soldier, rifle in hand, stood over her, kicking her mercilessly. As I stood by helplessly, I caught sight of the soldier's face, twisted in hatred, snarling at the woman. Suddenly, from behind me, someone threw a brick, striking the soldier, knocking him down and leaving him dazed. In a flash, 2 young men sprinted past me toward the girl. They yanked her to her feet and started to run away. But she, who just moments before had seemed so pitiable, broke away from her rescuers, turned back, kicked the soldier squarely in the face, and spat on him before fleeing the scene. I saw her face too, twisted in hatred, every bit as much as the soldier's face. I think it's the only time in my life I've ever seen such raw, implacable hatred. That's the image that looms in my imagination as I hear Jesus say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you must at least try to act lovingly toward your enemy. He drives his point home in the next command, do good to those who hate you. Actually, that's a pretty lame translation of what Jesus says. In Greek, the language the gospel was written in, there are 2 different words for good. One, agathos, means good in the sense of something noble or proper. The other, kalos, means good in the sense of something beautiful. From kalos, we get the word kaleidoscope, beautiful images, and calligraphy, beautiful writing. Kalos is the word that Jesus employs here. So what he actually is saying is something more like, love your enemies, act beautifully toward those who hate you. And that's what seems so absurd to me. as if either that soldier or that young woman could have acted beautifully toward the other. And yet, make no mistake about it, that's the challenge that Jesus proposes to you and me. Next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. Perhaps instead of the hackneyed resolution to give up chocolate or alcohol, you might wrestle with this appeal from Jesus. Love your enemies. Act beautifully toward those who hate you. Begin by imagining Jesus on Good Friday, hanging on the cross as his life ebbs away. Next, imagine Jesus peering down at you with love as he softly mouths these words, perhaps his very last words to you. Love your enemies. Act beautifully toward those who hate you. Isn't that a plea that you would want to honor? Well, you have the next 6 weeks to think about it. Who is it that has hurt you? Perhaps you've already decided that they don't deserve forgiveness. Nevertheless, listen as Jesus pleads, love your enemies, act beautifully toward those who hate you. What would it look like if you were to begin to act beautifully toward him or her? Maybe here at the beginning of Lent, you don't have it in you to forgive that person. But as you allow God to soften your heart over the next several weeks of Lent, maybe you will be able to by Easter. Or think of our country. What is it that distresses you about it most at this time? Who are the people who sadden you most? Now, visualize them in your heart and hear Jesus say, love your enemies, act beautifully toward those who hate you. What would it look like if you were to act beautifully toward them? For the most part, you and I don't live with hatred as intense as that soldier's or that young woman's. Our angers tend not to be so searing, but that doesn't mean that this difficult gospel command is not meant for us. In fact, unless we grapple with it earnestly, we cannot be Christians in the deepest sense. So let's ask God to teach us during these Lenten weeks how to act beautifully toward those who hate us.